do this on my own. I lay my life before your throne. I will follow you wherever you lead. If I lose sight of the path, be the road, be the road, be the road that leads me back.
Lord, be everything to me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be the road that takes me back. That old song we used to sing, that same road. Hallelujah, will lead me back to Jesus. Hallelujah. When I finally realized that men couldn't do anything for me, I finally realized I was praising and praying to the wrong thing. My fate was in God's hands and not in anybody else's. And I turned my attention to God, and I got it off of my troubles. I looked out the window 2 o'clock one morning, saw the stars, thought about throwing in the towels, said, this is it. I've had enough. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you keep on going till I say it's enough. Yeah. And that was the night I got the courage to meet the next day, and I'm still here today because I had the courage to go one more day,
yeah.
And I'm still here today. I can't do this on my own, and you can't either. So I lay my life before his throne. 1 Kings 22:29. Try not to keep you long, but I have a message the Lord gave me that I believe will help some of you tonight. 1 Kings 22:29. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle. But put thou on thy robe. You go ahead and look like a king. I'm going to look like a soldier, even though I'm the king. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. I want to preach a little while tonight from this title, very common saying, your blessing is in disguise. Your blessing. Your blessing is in disguise. Lord, I come before you tonight. Hallelujah. It's day to you. It's night to us, but it's day to you. For in you there is no darkness. You are the Father of lights. And God, I'm thankful for that because you are a light unto my path. Hallelujah. You search my soul. You turn on lights and help me find things in me I didn't even know I had and reveal them to me so I can work on those things. Thank you, Lord, for being a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Continue to stay in this frame of mind as I try to minister to you tonight. That your blessing is in disguise. We're in a season right now where people will be putting on masks. And they will be saying trick or treat. And guess who I am. And some will be fooled. Some will know. But they're going to try to disguise themselves. This word disguise is guise. G-U-I-S-E. Not like you guys. But guise means the true appearance. Guise, G-U-I-S-E, the true appearance. But the word disguise means to hide the true appearance or to conceal what is otherwise apparent. And you disguise it. I would know who you were if you took away that mask. Of course, God looks at us without, he said, we're naked before him. No matter what you put up before man, you're naked before God. But as I studied this, I began to realize that God has always worked in some sort of obscurity. You always had to find him. And And you even look from the days of Genesis, the Lord God walked through the garden, and we didn't say, and they saw his face and shook his hand and said, how are you today? It was the voice of the Lord that walked. So I had to know the voice, or I would not see a God figure. It was just the voice. And he worked through this obscurity so that he even talks to Moses through a disguise called a burning bush. So that Moses did not know. He saw the bush burning, did not recognize that this was God. It was disguised to him, but God was working because the bush didn't burn. And we saw that the bush was not consumed. He said, now I will turn aside and see why this bush. And then God was working and speaking through a very disguised way that he could not recognize until he got close enough. And when the Lord saw, he drew near. Stars, Abraham, and if you can count the stars, then you'll know. And so we want to know, but God works in these mysterious ways, the Bible says, and he still works in these mysterious ways. Even on the troubled waters of the ship, when the disciples with him, they knew Jesus, but there was so much rain coming down that day, and there was so many waves coming in their life, and maybe that's where you're at tonight. So much rain in your life, there's so much going on in your life, and that Jesus was walking on the water, and they saw a figure that they thought was a spirit. It was, but it was the Spirit of the Lord. And they cried out. He said, if you wouldn't have cried out, I would have passed you by. And then he gets on the boat and calms it, but he was walking in obscurity. They knew who he was when he broke the 5,000, you know, fed the 5,000, broke the bed. There was no doubt because there was no veil at that time. But when the rain was going on, it's kind of hard to understand and know Jesus when you're in trouble. 1 Corinthians 3:12 says, for now we see through a glass perfectly, crystal clear. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. No, it says we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. There will come a day that the obscurity and the mask will be peeled back. But now I know in part. I don't know everything that I go through and why I go through it, but I know in part. But then shall I know, even as I am known of him. I will know him like he knows me. He knows you. I may not know you, but he knows you. But the day will come when I will know him just like he knows me, because I will be part of him without this carnal self I have. And I've realized that until the stained windows of time are washed by the pure blood of Christ, we must abide in faith, hope, and charity, things that you cannot see, right? They're obscure. One day, all this will be revealed. And there's been many unpleasant times in my life, I'm sure in yours, troubled times in my life, where I would have loved to have avoided it. Had I known that this was going to happen, I would have went another way. It's like listening to the traffic thing on your radio, and they'll tell you there is an accident on the I-10 bridge. Well, if you're in your right mind, you'll say, I'm going to go 210. I'm going to avoid that. But God works in this obscure way that you, what's everybody stopping up there? Oh, there must, and there you are. You can't turn around. You can't, you're trapped. He doesn't tell you what lies ahead many times. But I'm here to tell not just one of you, but many of you, that your blessing is in disguise. It's in disguise. Our text scripture comes from a setting where there was a godly king that was Jehoshaphat, king over Judah, and we have an unrighteous king who's king of Israel, whose name was Ahab, who had a sentence of death upon him. I mean, the prophet had said he would die and the dogs would lick his blood, right? I mean, you that know your Bible, remember that that was upon his head. And so the king of Judah goes to see the king of Israel, and they start discussing this city called Ramoth-Gilead. And they begin discussing and say, you know, really, Ramoth-Gilead ought to be one of our cities. We ought to take that away from Syria. Don't you think that's what we ought to do? Yeah, that's what we ought to do. Well, will you go fight with me? That's what the unrighteous king said to the righteous king. Will you go fight with me? And he replied, I am as thou art. You got to be careful. You got to be careful when you get with unrighteous people and you say, hey, I'm with you. You better be ready because you're going to ride the ride they're going to ride. And I'm with you. And so King Jehoshaphat was making a terrible mistake of going into battle with a wicked king that had a death sentence on his head. And this righteous man aligns himself with unrighteousness. And you know what? When that happens, the righteous are headed to the same place as the unrighteous. Amen. And before they go into the battle, though, the king of Judah says, don't you think, Brother King, that it would be good we would inquire of the Lord? Is there any prophets? Do you believe in prophets around here? Could you get some prophets and let's see what the Lord has to say about this battle? I'm used to praying before I go into battle. And King Ahab says, yeah, we'll get some prophets. And he gets him 400, not four, 400 prophets. Not of Baal, of God. 400 prophets known to be prophets of God. And they come, and this one man named Zedekiah, he comes up to the two kings. And these two kings are sitting on their thrones, the Bible says. And they're both sitting on their thrones. They're going to hear these prophets. They got two thrones there, and they're sitting on their thrones. And Zedekiah comes up and gets some horns. And he says, with these horns, we're going to drive back the enemy. The Syrians will be ours. We're going to take them over. And so the king is like, hear that? Hear that, Jehoshaphat? The Lord said, we're going to take over the Syria. And Jehoshaphat, the righteous king, he was troubled. That's when you should exit. You see, that's when he should have exited. He was troubled. And he said, is there not another king, another prophet that we can call? He said, there's one more guy. There was 401. He said, there's one more guy, but he don't never tell me what I want to hear. That's like not coming to church because Brother Baggy don't preach what you want to hear. He's going to preach another one of them sermons, Lord. I'm step on my toe. And he said, he doesn't tell me what I want to hear. I hate him. He said, well, you don't mind if we could just kind of hear what he's got to say. So he said, okay, bring him in. Well, he sends this man to go get him. And this man goes and gets this prophet. He said, now listen, pal, we've already had 400 prophets. Just back them up if you don't mind. Just say what they said. Don't cause no rift today. Just go along with the crowd. He said, I'll say what the Lord tells me to say. But when he got there, oddly enough, the king of Israel, Ahab, says, say on. So he said, go up. You're going to take them easy. You'll drive them back. You're going to be prosperous. And he said, that ain't the truth. You had never told me anything good all these years. That's not the truth. He was making light of it. That's not the truth. And so he said, okay, I'll tell you the truth. While you were sitting on your throne, I saw God sitting on his throne. And around him was the host of heaven on the right and on the left. And what he showed me was that you're going to be sheep scattered upon the hill without a shepherd. And you won't return home in peace. Boy, that guy, that crossed that Zedekiah guy, because he was making a big deal. I got horns and I'm going to show you. He was saying what the king wanted to hear. He come over there and he hit Zedekiah. He smote him on the cheek and said, tell me which way the Spirit of the Lord went. And that man went to prophesy. He went to prophesy. And he said, let me tell you what the Lord showed me. These 400 prophets, they're all wrong. They're all lying. It's hard to go against the crowd sometime and be, you know, it's very difficult. He said, but with the Lord sitting on his throne, and before him came the spirits and said, how shall Ahab fall at Ramoth Gilead? And he said, one spirit said this and one spirit said that. And he said, no. And up came a lying spirit and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said, wherewith? He said, I will be a lie in all of his prophets. So these 400 prophets were not telling the truth. And so Ahab said, see there? I told you he doesn't tell me anything good. Take him and put him in the inner prison till I come back in peace. And he said, you won't be back in peace. Feed him on the bread of affliction and the water of affliction. And so when King Ahab hears of this, he devised him a plan how to survive. He knew there was a sentence of death on his head. And he did not know perhaps this would be it. He thought, I'll find a way to escape the tragedy that is going to come upon me. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself. I'm not going to look like a king when I get in the battle. I'm going to look like any other soldier. Nobody's going to know. I'll put on my mask. Now you put on you go ahead and dress like a king. Because it had been said by the captain of the host of Syria, I want the king, dead or alive. Get the king. Everybody else, you fight them small or great, but I want the king. Well, guess who's the only one that looks like a king? See, so he thought he had him a plan. I'm here to tell you, he put on a disguise to look. But Jehoshaphat's blessing was in the disguise. The blessing was something he had never thought of. His blessing was in a disguise. And so his blessing, if you will, goes out. And he goes out in his kingly robe. He looks like a king. And when the Syrians saw this man that looked like a king, they thought that it was Ahab. And here they go after him. They're after him. And they got him cornered. But when he turned around, he cried out. And they saw, that's not the king at all. That's King Jehoshaphat, which the king of Syria didn't have a deal with. He wanted Ahab. And so they left off to get him. And the Bible says, listen to this. After they left off from pursuing after Jehoshaphat, that a certain man drew a bow at venture. He's like, I'm just adding lift. I got one arrow left. Oh, well. He just cocks that thing back, lets it go. The Bible says that arrow, and it went right to the king and smote him between the joints of his armor. You got to have a little room to run, a little room to fight. And they'd have this little crack in their armor. And he hit him right in the crack of the armor. And the king looked at his armor bearer and the one in his chair. He said, I am wounded. Take me out of here. And they took him. He died. They buried him. They washed the chariot out. And guess what? The dog showed up and licked the blood. I'm here to tell you, Jehoshaphat went on to reign for 25, 30 years as king of Judah. But his blessing, he had messed up. But even through our messing up, there is a blessing in disguise. Can you say amen? I want to take you one other character here, if I could. It'll go a little bit deeper with the time I have left. The life and times of Joseph is based upon the theme of a dream that he had as a little boy. and lived out all of his life. And when you look at the coat that was made for Joseph, and it was brought back rent in pieces and dipped in goat's blood, and they showed his father, and he assumed, he said, they didn't say, hey, they all they said was, this we found. And he assumed that this was, he said, I know my son is dead, for surely this is his coat and some ravenous beast. It was a blessing in disguise. And they took brother Joseph and they put him in a pit. But I'm here to tell you, the pit was a blessing in disguise. There was false accusation that came across this little boy. But I'm here to tell you that false accusation was a blessing in disguise. He went to the dungeon, and it was terrible in the dungeon to go backwards. He'd gone to second Pharaoh to the dungeon. But it's terrible to go backwards. But I'll tell you, going backwards turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Because finally Pharaoh has this dream and he can't interpret it because it's obscured to him. But the one who could interpret it was the one who was in the dungeon. So they bring him out. And Joseph has lived this life of misery and mystery all of his life. But we're going to finally pull back the mask at the end of the story and find out the purpose of the mystery. Genesis 42 and 6, and Joseph was the governor over the land. And he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came, well, imagine that, and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to, oh my God, this is that dream he had many years ago. And Joseph saw his brethren, now watch, and he knew them, but made himself straight. He put on a mask. He made himself look like somebody they wouldn't know. Made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto them and said unto them, knowing who they were, but them not knowing who he was, whence come ye? Or they, and they said, oh, we're from the land of Canaan. We come to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams. Woo! Hallelujah. Joseph remembered the vision that God had given him in the beginning. And somebody tonight needs to remember the vision. And he remembered the dreams that he dreamed of them many, many, many years ago. He's gone through many things that would be a blessing in disguise. And he said unto them, now watch, he gets rough with them and said, you are